us out from the darkness into the light. Subhanallah, capable of everything. We should never feel afraid of anything, as long as we follow His guidance all the way. Through our shutdown we have in this life, soon it'll all be over.
Thanks for watching and welcome back. Without further ado, on the website yale.edu, the title of an article is Inequality Breeds Resistance to Globalization. But it claims that don't blame globalization for inequality, but rather policies hijacked by a few. The impact of globalization on a country's inequality depends on the state of its mass education, physical infrastructure, and labor market conditions and institutions. Do you agree with this justification or kind of, I don't know, identification?
Generally something? Speaking, yes, I think I would go for it as it comes to my mind, apparently. Basically, if we are supposed to prepare ourselves for globalization, and of course we are leading towards that, this globalization is a concept which Islam also expounds. It's not something which is something new to the to this world. It's Islam's message that the whole earth has to be filled with the heaven of God, with the kingdom of God, as to say. We believe in that globalization, but that globalization is for social justice. It's globalization.
But what kind of globalization?
But yes, that is important. Globalization is not just the distribution of wealth in the hands of all the people, as equality would suggest. It is not just wealth. We're not just concerned with wealth. We're concerned with values. We are concerned with goals which are beyond the material world. Therefore, yes, globalization, even in that sense, we need education. Mass education is important. It is very important. If we want to achieve globalization in the material sense or in the sense that we are after, Islam wants, mass education is important. How we use our human resources, how we train them, how do we educate them, how we benefit from them so they are efficient and effective in carrying out their duties, that is important. So labor policies and educational policies play a very major role in developing a globalized society, whether it is in the material sense, which the world is after today, or whether it is in our sense that we want to establish a world full of social justice, based on the concept and notion of divine justice.
Yes.
That also, without any doubt, cannot be achieved without education, mass education. The policies in this regard have to be very much geared towards that noble goal.
So we should not blame globalization for inequality?
Globalization, as it is being implemented today in the material sense, it is causing inequality. Equal opportunities are not given. They have the corporates, the multinationals, they sponsor many educational programs, they sponsor many health programs, but they are all facades. They are all just showing not the true intentions behind them.
Yes.
The true intentions is to establish their power and wealth and their leading role in this world, whether they are the rightful leaders or not.
Right.
Therefore, of course, as a fact, they talk about global equality, they talk about an egalitarian society, they talk about equal rights and freedom and all that, but actually what they are distributing, what is becoming globalization is poverty is becoming globalization.
And the goal is important.
Yes. I mean, when a country is instead of the surplus wheat it has, instead of distributing it among the poor people, just to keep the prices stable, they will throw it into the ocean.
Thank you, Shay.
So what is that? It is not the equal in an equal society. It's a distribution of poverty which is getting
thank you. Thanks
globalized.
For the point. Thank you. Brother.
Yes, thank you. sorry. I would like to ask Sheikh Musharraf Husseini, does neoliberalism result in equality as they brag it does? I'm thinking about the 99% Wall Street movement. I'm thinking about the media and the fact that many corporations have they're sponsoring these different media outlets, and we have a conflict of interest here. With all of this bear in mind, all of this, how do you answer to the question of does neoliberalism result in equality or not?
Yeah, no doubt, because there is competition between the wealthy industries and the people with more money. But on one hand, they might have served something that they in development and in the research and development, because obviously to compete in industry, to compete in wealth, to compete in production, you need to have more access to research and development. But that research and development is also matter-oriented, materialistic in nature. They are just after profit and loss. They are not after what the people need. For example, a medicine produced and found, they will just wait for the right time to bring it into the market, not they won't do research according to needs and requirements of the people, and they would try to bring a medicine. We have one medicine, they will have to sell three or four types of medicines. Like we have got programs in computers, they don't give you a complete program, they give you in pieces. One program, then you will need another program, then after that you will need another program. So the main option is to sell different commodities to the people. So for the general public, for the 98%, it's not beneficial. It has got benefits, but for those 2%, and the wealth starts flowing from bottom, from the general public to the middle class, from middle class to the top class. And now when the people have been squeezed, that's what's happening, that 98% of the population has been squeezed so much, so now there's not too much left. Even then, people are saying that because of a very large amount of automation, now the population is not needed and required. And that's why, so in the end, we see that neoliberalism is not serving the people. It's not serving the demand of the people. It's not after the welfare of the people.
Yes.
It's just after the wealth, just after the profits, just after getting more and more money after all the people and using the people. And, you know, if we make the people wealthy, the one negative point that happens, an engineer, a doctor will demand more money for his pay, which he deserves. But if there is poverty, the same engineer would deserve, for example, $3,000 or $5,000 every month.
Sir.
He will be, because of the poverty, because he's not able to make the two ends meet in his bills and other things. So he will be working even for $3,000 or $2,000 even. So this is the poverty is in benefit of those wealthy people, that the people's level, they need more money, the money is squeezed. And moreover, this wealth, which is accumulated by some 2%, they don't need that wealth at all. That wealth is not needed by them. If that is spread among the people, the poverty level will go down and the people's life will become beneficial for them. So some people, the most of the population, I would say it's more than most, 98% means a total globalization, a total global thing. Like you were talking to Maulana about the globalization.
Yes.
You know, the poor countries, which are more, what does the globalization mean for them? The wealthy nations, they've already worked on it. They've got the system. Globalization means selling their commodities only.
Yes.
They don't allow the laborers to come. What is the immigration?
If you were
talking about globalization, what is this immigration for? What are these visas for? Let it be globalization. Let everybody come in. Let everybody go out. Benefit from your things that the universities you have created, education level and all these things, but no, there is no globalization. It's just to sell the commodities. So for the general 98%,
I have to interrupt you here. Sorry for the interruption, Sheikh. Sayyid Salman Nagawi, Now we went into the globalization question, all right? Could you please explain a little bit more detailed about how exactly globalization produces inequality among nations?
Yes, as our colleague was also mentioning, the fact that the globalization which is taking place basically based on the Millennium Report generated by the United Nations in 2000, it was supposed to develop, basically there were the four or five pillars for that globalization. One was the media, one was the NGOs, the media, the parliamentarians, the academia. Four or five pillars were developed, were ascertained that they will be the stakeholders, they will be those which upon which globalization will be based.
And that's from UN?
That was developed, this Millennium Report was developed in the UN, and basically it was targeting the fact that nation states to stop to exist in the sense that we have nation states today. And all economic activities, political issues, everything should be done at the global level and under that umbrella at the regional levels. For example, you have EU that has come up. It is they have the European Parliament. So there is a certain level of globalization in that continent based on the political setup they have. They have opened up the borders. They have opened up trade. They have special favored nation agreements between each other. They give preferential treatment to each other in regards economics issues, in regard to political issues. So they are developing a state. They are developing a world which they have a global governance. They have global management. And nation states that are there nowadays, they gradually cease to exist, and all the power is
concentrated
in a few. That is the positive aspect of it. As I said, Islam is also talking about a global society. Right. It is also talking about global governance. It is talking about global management.
We will come to that, Sayyid, in a short while.
Yes.
We will come to that in a short while, where you can give the Islamic perspective.